From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. The local COVID-19 news is so bad that when Albany County announced 64 new cases November 15th, it was considered good news by the Times Union. That's because 64 was fewer than half of the 147 cases that Albany County announced the day before. Meanwhile, the Daily Freeman reports Ulster and Dutchess County announced the highest levels of coronavirus infection in 5 months. A high school student in Cairo Durham School tested positive, but school officials are not halting in-person learning. More other schools are, such as the College of St. Rose, which is going remote November 17th. The town of Nassau, the village of Chatham, and Columbia County all closed their municipal buildings to the public last week. Rensselaer County confirmed one new death and 15 new COVID-19 cases on November 15th, with the ages of the patients ranging from 10 months to 84 years old. The Times Union reports Rensselaer County is also dealing with nursing home employee shortages. Besides shutting down bars, restaurants, and gyms to in-person business after 10 p.m., state officials are doing little to slow the ever-expanding spread of the disease in New York. Morgan McKay is reporting for State of Politics. There are roughly 1,800 volunteer fire departments in New York, but during the past few decades, there has been a steady decline in the number of people willing to volunteer, as well as the number of volunteers the departments can retain. To help this problem, this week, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation to create a state recruitment and retention task force. John D'Alessandro, a public affairs specialist at the Firemen's Association of the State of New York, said the task force will first identify why so many volunteer firefighters are leaving the departments. D'Alessandro said, and I quote, "It's a complex problem because some of it is training and how training is delivered," end quote. He said departments will have to find ways to make training more accessible for the average person looking to join up, but at the same time, they cannot compromise on quality given the physical requirements of the job. The task force will include representatives of the fire service, the executive branch, the legislature, and state agencies. Once the task force meets, it will have 120 days to issue a report. Volunteer fire departments save taxpayers more than $5 billion annually, according to the Firemen's Association. And you can read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com. Ryan Taranelli is reporting for the New York Law Journal. The state's Commission on Judicial Conduct has made a determination against Robert Schmidt, a justice for the Brunswick Town Court in Rensselaer County. The commission found that Schmidt should be admonished for what it called inappropriate posts on social media. In a press release, the commission also said Schmidt, who is not an attorney, has agreed to the discipline. The commission found the judge, and I quote, "made Facebook posts and links which contained various undignified and disrespectful statements, including regarding laws that he would be required to uphold as a judge," end quote. And through his actions, the judge, and I quote, "undermined public confidence in the integrity and impartiality of the judiciary," end quote. According to the Times Union, Schmidt implied in social media posts that former President Bill Clinton had killed Jeffrey Epstein, mocked gun control laws, and compared censorship on Facebook to the behavior of the Nazis. Schmidt's current term expires at the end of 2023, and you can read the full story at New York Law Journal. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the legislation known as Stevens Law has been signed into law by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo. The measure, named in the memory of Stephen Canastro Jr., requires that certified drug treatment programs notify patients of their rights to identify trusted individuals who should be contacted in case of emergency. Also, treatment providers must give people in programs an opportunity to establish what information can be shared with their contacts. In 2018, Canastro died of an overdose in his mother's home after previously testing positive for fentanyl and leaving treatment against the advice of his treatment provider. He had demonstrated warning signs of relapse to health care providers, including missed appointments and drug use. But under the laws at that time, health care providers were not required to tell anyone about the relapse signs, and neither Canastro's mother or his recovery assistance organization were told of his behavior or positive drug screens on the days preceding his death. Under the new law, the State Office of Addiction Services and Supports will be required to develop guidelines for protocols to be used by treatment programs in communicating with a patient's support system. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.